You to stand up in this place, to come down to the altar. We're going to say a prayer to prepare our hearts. Let's meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. So come on now, stand up to your feet. Stand up to your feet. Stand up to your feet. Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, we usher in your anointing and your power and your glory into this place. Father, this is the day that you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we lay aside every single weight. We lay aside every single doubt or fear. Whatever weight we came into this place with, Father, we lay it down at the cross in the name of Jesus. Father, we lay it down at the altar right now. Lord, we don't want one thing between you and us, God, as you minister to us this morning. Father, we thank you that already in this place, there's an anointing for breakthrough. Already in this place, there's an anointing for miracles, God. We decree and we declare that as the word is going to be brought forth, according to Mark 16:20, there shall be signs and wonders confirming the word. So, Father, we come to you right now, Lord, with an attitude of faith and saying, Lord, you shall confirm it today in the name of Jesus. There shall be breakthrough in the name of Jesus. There shall be healings and miracles in the name of Jesus. Father, those seeds that we've been planting in prayer, Father God, we decree and we declare a harvest that shall come in Jesus' name. Come on now, lift your hand and lift your voice. Begin to thank him in advance that it's happening. God, I thank you. The harvest is coming through. I thank you, Father God. You're sending rain to the seed. I thank you, Lord. You were in this place and you're about to move. So God, we lift up our hands. We lift up our voice, Father God. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. If you believe that, come on now, lift your hands. Come down to the altar. Let's seek God.
yes.
Okay, hold on. I need the Nigerians over here. I need some Nigerians. Now, it's really interesting. This is a song you need to move a little bit about. Can anybody just go do something? Can you sway? Is Josh still here? No. Josh Fuchsman. Josh Fuchsman, come on up and dance with the Nigerians. You guys want to might give the Nigerians a little space here. Okay, here we go. Everybody else got to move a little bit now. Got to move a little bit.
Where's the cameraman at? We're going to say it one more time. You're good and your mercy forever. Got one? All right, here we go. Everyone, let's say it. Three, and
you are good and your mercy forever. Hallelujah.
You are good.
You are good and your mercy forever. Hallelujah.
One more time.
You are good and your mercy forever.
Get it, look at it.
Feel like-
For them to be bopping and a hopping and a skipping and a jumping. But do you not know I like sports? And I was crying last night because Villanova won, you know? But every time I thought about Oklahoma coming back, I would say, yeah, that's it. I wasn't at church. I would walk around and be like, come on, Oklahoma. But we're talking about God our Savior. You hear me? We're not talking about the Kansas Jayhawks or the Kansas City Royals. They'll win the World Series again, but we're talking about God our Savior. So when we say praise Him, the Bible talks about praising Him in the dance, praising Him upon the high sounding cymbals. It talks about everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Let's try for the next 30 seconds. Everybody clap those hands. In this place. You give life. You are love. You bring light to darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in thy lungs. So you pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in thy lungs. So we pour out our praise. Everybody say it's your breath. and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Praise are you, Lord. And all the earth
will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will
come on, that's
sing.
The Holy Ghost. I need you real quick. Pastor, there's something on you today. I just felt there's something on our leader, a great impartation needs to take place. Get to this altar right now. He's not going to tarry with you. But I felt God saying that when he walks by you and touches you, my God, you're going to feel an impartation from your leader. He needs leaders in this house that have the spirit of the prophet, have the spirit of the visionary. If you want the impartation, this is not games. But if you want the impartation, I'm talking a impartation. Oh, it's on them. They're falling. And all the earth, oh.
And all the earth, oh. Will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry.
It's on our leader.
Your voice, and all the earth will,
all the earth,
hey. Shout your praise. Our hearts will cry.
Bones. your breath, it's your breath.
It's your breath in my lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise.
It's your breath in our lungs.
In our lungs.
So you pour out
our praise. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise.
It's your breath.
It's your breath
in our lungs.
In our lungs.
So we pour it out.
So we pour out our praise.
Hallelujah, God.
Pour out our praise. It's your breath.
In our lungs.
In our lungs.
So we pour it out,
so
God. All over the building. God, we receive it now.
So we pour out our praise.
Hallelujah.
Pour out our praise. It's your breath.
Now just lift those hands. Come on.
In our lungs. So we pour out our praise.
Let's reference
this. Pour out our praise. It's your breath.
Worship, 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 worship.
In our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise
to you,
holy.
Do me a favor in the spirit. Point your hand towards our leader. He's right behind you on the side. God, we speak life like never before to our leader. Every dart, a thunderable crochet, every weapon that's come to defeat him, we come against it in Jesus' name. Thank you for God, this vessel that has yielded himself to ministry. We thank you for our leader. Someone say, we thank you, God, for the leader. We receive the impartation. Oh, the spirit is still falling. Come on, usher, stay with me. Hallelujah. So we pour out our praise to you, God, for our leader. We lift him up and we lift his wife up as well. Point your hands towards Pastor Rhonda real quickly. We thank you for this vessel, God. Woman of God that walks by his side. Every dart, every weapon that has come her way. We stand in agreement that no weapon shall prosper. No weapon. I pray, God, that you go into every area and seal her up again. Protect her, Father, from the enemy. And we thank you for the voice she has in this ministry. Now, I need about 100 people for the next 30 seconds. Lift your voice and give God a praise in this place.
It's your breath in the lungs.
So we
pour out our praise.
Yeah, God.
Pour out our praise. It's your breath
in the lungs, Jesus.
In our lungs.
So we pour it out.
So we pour out our praise.
Oh.
Pour out our praise.
Oh, it's your breath in our lungs.
In our lungs.
Hush, my nose.
So we pour out our praise.
worship. Just worship.
Come on, Pastor Flo.
In our lungs,
hallelujah.
So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath.
In our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath. In our lungs, oh Shama.
For we pour out our praise. Pour out.
Hallelujah.
In our lungs,
so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise, it's your breath. Come on, you all carry it.
In our lungs,
so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise, it's your breath. So we pour out. Pour out our praises, your breath in our lungs, hey God. So we pour out, hallelujah. Pour out our praise, it's your breath, hallelujah.
In our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs.
So we pour out our praise,
pour out our praise,
it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise,
hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
In our lungs,
so we pour out our praise. Hallelujah. I know some of you might be your first time in this style church and you're wondering what in the world is going on. You see, we don't believe in religion. We believe that God is alive. And our God is not hampered to the flesh realm. So when you see people fall or when you see people crying, why is that happening? What's this falling thing? What happens is the Bible says, and Jesus did it in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he spoke his name, such power was released that everybody went out. What do you mean went out? Well, what happens is like sticking your finger in a light socket. I wouldn't encourage you to do that when you get home. But if you stuck your finger in a light socket, you would experience a zap. You would experience the flow of energy. That is 110? 110. But when you get in the presence of the Lord, everyone reacts differently to the anointing. Some people cry. Some people get quiet. Some people go out. Some people just stand there. It doesn't matter how you receive, just get your finger in the socket. Amen? So if you get your finger in the socket, Jesus can touch you. Now, I'd like everyone who didn't come up front, I want you all to raise your hands. Father, I release your anointing. God, you are not tethered by touching, by human hands. So in the name of Jesus right now, I release the power of God in this room. Heal the sick. Save the lost. Confirm your reality by your supernatural touch. So in the name of Jesus, I release your anointing now. in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, God, that even those, the greatest atheists that would stand in your presence, could not stand. That, Jesus, they'll experience the living God, the good God, the awesome God. And our breath that you gave us, we will choose to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I said amen. Why don't you go meet four or five people that you don't know and say good morning. You look just marvelous today. I love being in the presence of God. Come on, go find somebody. Don't go sit down. Go find somebody and shake their hand this morning.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praises. Pour out our praises. Your breath
in the lungs, God.
In our lungs.
So we pour.
So we pour out our praises. Pour out.
Come on, meet somebody you don't know. Pour out. Hallelujah. Boy, I thank God for our worship team.
Perfect opportunity to be refueled, to allow God to pour into your spirit.
I got clarity and confirmation about going forward in the ministry, and it was just a real blessing.
I would recommend any pastor and every pastor to come to the Empowering Pastors Conference.
Women's Day is coming up, and we're celebrating with our annual Women's Day brunch, Saturday, May 7th at 10 a.m. at the Hilton Garden Inn. You're going to want to get your tickets right away because we sell out every year. Tickets for ladies are $20 a piece, and for 10 and under, it's $11. Ladies, invite your friends and your family, bring the generations, and come together and celebrate.
Hey, it's Tabernacle. We have an awesome opportunity coming up for all of you parents. Pastor Ron is going to be starting a class every third Tuesday of the month, starting April 19th. It's going to be held from 6 to 7 p.m. in classroom number 1. You're going to be able to learn about godly principles. Colby, get over here now. So as I was saying, we got the parenting class coming up starting April 19th. Every third Tuesday of the month from 6 to 7 p.m. in Classroom 1, Pastor Ron is teaching about the principles and how to raise up your children in a godly way. Make sure you sign up today.
Amen. Great things are happening. I do have 10 His Tabernacle Family Church logos. First one goes to Dad. Amen. If you would like a His Tabernacle logo, come get it for your car. I'm not going to wait long. No, I don't come to anybody. They come to me.
I got a few left. Does everyone have one on their... I'm going to actually put one on my children's car because they don't have one. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Today we get to do a giveaway. I know all the moms, women that were here from last week, we have a spa package to give you. So we're going to draw for the spa package. Remember, you got to be here. Yeah, you can't win if you're not a lady. So we need someone to draw. Do we have a child? No. Draw. Just draw. We're skimped on time. Here we go. First name.
Lexi Ashley.
Is she here? Where's it? Is Lexi here? You got to be here. Oh, well. Bad week to skip church. Glory to God.
Linda Westbrook. Are you here?
Okay. Keep going.
Ashley Coates.
I know Ashley's here. Where is she? She's in the children's room? Very good. She gets one. She's in the children's room. All right. All right. Now we're doing one for the women's brunch. Tickets to the women's brunch.
Kristen Merk.
You live in Corning.
Merkless. Max.
She's not here. Here we go.
Carrie Kirkendall, are you here this service? Your name was drawn first service, too.
Oh, she is a skipper for sure.
Always here. Oh, no. I think she on vacation. Oh, no. Bad week. Queenie Ramsey.
Is she here? Nope. Oh. Yeah. Don't put your name in if you're not going to come next time because you know your name's going to get pulled. It's too funny.
That's Aunt Queenie, too. Mallory Cramner. We're doing attendance for you, Pastor Dan. Victoria Garris.
Yay! Here you go, honey. Oh, my goodness. I think the snow scared people away. Thank you, honey. Congratulations. Very good. Here you go, young lady. We want to welcome all of our online campus. If we can give our online campus a hand clap this morning, say congratulations for being with us. We love you. Thank you for being here with us. We also want to welcome all of our guests. If you're very first time at His Tabernacle, if you can raise your hand up, we're not going to make you stand or anything. You're a first time guest, the young lady over here, very good. Is there anyone else? First time guest. Young man back there, that's right, prayed for you. Young lady, there you go. Husband and wife, yes? Yeah, congratulations. Awesome. Very good. Did you guys get a visitor's packet and stuff? Yes? Awesome. Anywhere else? Yeah, right on the front row. Very good. Anyone else? Sir, very good. We got a young man over there with a bow tie. He looks good, dude. You look good. Very right behind you. There we go. Could you raise your hand a little bit more? There we go. Chris, right over there, this young man right there. Very good. Well, let's give all of our guests a hand clap this morning. Thank you so much for being here. We always encourage our guests to come at least 3 weeks. Everybody shout, 3 weeks. This might be your first time in this style of church. We want to acclimate you a little bit. You need 3 weeks before you make a decision whether this is God's house for you or not. And be blessed and encouraged. Here's my beautiful wife, Rhonda.
We also today have, right after service, we have cake to celebrate Pastor Spencer's birthday in the foyer. And for all of our first-time guests, we have a guest reception where the pastors will greet you and get to know you. So please go down this hallway after service and allow the pastors to greet you and welcome you. We have a reception for you in the side hall. So right after service, those two things are happening. This morning, as we enter into the time of tithes and offerings, I just want to share with you from the Word of God. You see this book? This is our manual for life and living right here, right? Amen? This is our manual for how to live. And in Philippians 4:19, the scripture says, "My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory." Does that mean just some of them? Will, it's a roulette wheel, like just if it hits the right spot that God's going to supply it? No, it says all of my needs. My God shall supply all of my needs. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. My favorite part in this scripture are the first two words. And it says, my God shall supply all of my needs. And his word says, if you love me, you'll keep my ordinances. And by tithing and being good stewards to our finances, we are obeying his ordinances. Therefore, we are calling him my God. And my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. This is God's word. It is the truth and it is his promises. We can be confident that this word is true. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be and you will receive. Your gift will be returned to you in full." I love this description right here of full. Pressed down, together, shaken together. You know when you shake things down to make more room? That's what it says. Shaken together to make more room, running over and poured out into your lap. With the amount that you give, it shall be returned back to you. This is our promise. The word of God, this word is as true as your salvation. It is as true as your miracle healing. This word is true even with your finances. My God shall supply all of my needs. Amen. Are you ready to give? Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration of our God from Deuteronomy 28. And it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to my God, who shall supply all of your needs. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button and give right along with us.
Forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let us sing happy birthday to our leader. Let's all stand. I need all the tenors to sing very loud on this. That means Pastor Bryce, all right? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Spencer. Happy birthday to you.
How old are you?
How old are you now?
What's that?
Huh? How old are you? How old are you now?
50.
Very good. How old are you now?
50.
Let's give God a praise for our leader. Amen. Be seated. Praise. Don't you just love our church? Praise the Lord. Let's do this very quickly, but do this with everyone involved. I'm standing here today to just continuing to honor our leader. And I know that you all love Pastor Spencer, don't you? Yeah. I want to just share this with you before we move on. It does say this, and he stated it before, that there are over 1,500 to 2,000 pastors leaving the pulpits of their churches every single month. Every single month, which means that there's someone that is showing up to church on a Sunday morning, or maybe a Tuesday and Wednesday night to receive Bible study or solid or rock solid faith, or maybe they're showing up on Thursday nights and they're not finding their pastor there at all. Showing up on Tuesday nights, he's gone. We don't have that. Amen. We have a pastor that is here. Amen? Amen. You ought to clap for that. You ought to clap for that. The reason you ought to clap for it, and I love when people look at me with strange eyes, because you never will know what you have until it's totally gone. And don't be the person that has to wake up one morning and say, wow, I had something, and now it's gone. As much as I cherish my family, I pray to God that I don't have to wake up one morning and say to myself, I lost them due to my own inability to recognize what I have. So with that today, we want to recognize our leader and our pastor, because he has been there, I believe, for a big, large crowd in here of people. He's given us a word. He maybe encouraged you in the hallway. He probably has given you some Bible study tips that you learned on Tuesday night. Maybe he visited one of your loved ones in the hospital and prayed for them. Maybe you cornered him on his way out and said, Pastor, give me something. He did it. The late Dr. Caesar Clark said this. He says, we never forget to pray for the weak, but we always have to remain praying for the strong. Which means sometimes you're weak, but who's there for him when he maybe needs a word? Yes, he has his Bible. Yes, he's a pastor. But guess what? He feels the same things you feel. Are you with me? Can I get one amen? I felt like I was in New Jersey when they just did that. Amen. But we want to be a blessing to him today. We want to be a blessing, not just with happy birthday. If that's all you have, then that's fine. But for some, you have not been able to be a blessing to him monetarily. And you're probably saying, Pastor Johnson, why? Well, you know, it's good to be a blessing to the man of God. There is a scripture I could give you, but I think you may want to go home and look that up yourself. There's a woman of God who understood in the Bible, I believe it's a Shunammite woman. She recognized that the man of God was sent by God. And you know what she did? She did not just give him an offering. She built an addition onto her house so that every time he would come through town, he had a place to stay. That would cost you now about maybe $30,000. But we're not asking you for that. We're asking you to ask God right now as you sit there, if you have not been able to do anything. Maybe you didn't come to the party on Friday night and experience Pastor in his lovely tuxedo. But you're here today. We're asking that you just ask God. Let's pray. Father God, touch the hearts of the men and women of God that are here in this place. And God, I believe that they love their leader. I know that they love their leader. Some of those have already given, but God, we're asking you to touch the hearts of those that probably haven't had a chance. Put on their heart what to give. And God, I'm speaking it now.
that this will be something that will impact his life. We thank you, God, for his service to this church and to this region. Thank you for all the lives that he's touching, but today we want to touch his life. We ask that, God, that you give him long life and favor. Thank you, Jesus. In the great name of Jesus Christ. And we say amen. Now, could you all do me a favor, those who have not had a chance to do this, if you could just get yourself properly prepared. And so we did this first service, but those who haven't had a chance, I want you to just walk to the front, place your offering in these baskets, and we're going to move on with the service and hear a great word of God. Amen. Can we do that now? Amen. Let's get some music going. Kenny, y'all moving too slow. See, that's the New Jersey part coming out of me, Pastor. Hey, thank you. Come on, turn it up. Let's move in the name of Jesus. We have an offering. Come and move forward now. Come on. Those who want to be a blessing.
If you feel left down, you draw a man to you. You said if you feel left down, you draw a man to you.
So draw me,
oh, draw me,
draw me closer.
I just want to say thank you all so much for blessing me. The party was phenomenal. If you weren't able to make the party, oh my goodness, plan to be at. We're going to do a 20th year anniversary party for His Tabernacle Family Church. And the last time we did the 10 year, there was over 300 people at it. So I want you to start planning. You got 2 years to save up. It's usually about $100 a head, but it is posh. I mean, it is beautiful. So start putting your money away for the 20th year anniversary of His Tabernacle Family Church. And I just want to say thank you so much for all those who blessed me with gifts, no matter what they were. I just want to say thank you as your pastor. You know, a lot of times one thing that I love to do is I love to bless my pastors. And Bishop Thomas, it's very rare that we don't go down and bless him. And also, Brother Ted Shuttlesworth, I was on the phone with him this morning. And just blessing my pastors because, man, I tell you, the people that speak into our lives really propel us to the destiny that God has us. So I just want to say thank you for all those who gave a gift and blessed me on my birthday. I do truly honor it and appreciate it. And I always am extremely humbled by it, seriously. And so I'd like you to open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Psalms, chapter 1, verse 3. It's our verse for the year. Shout this out loud with me. This is the year of? Who said Jubilee? Oh, that's 50 years. That's right. That'd be my 50th birthday. Here we go. This is the year of? Kingdom seed. What is kingdom seed? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We talked about how you must be kingdom-minded, that God is not church-minded. God is not religious-minded. God is kingdom-minded. Jesus said to seek the kingdom first. Last year, we did a whole year on what is the kingdom. So many believers think church. God does not think church. He thinks kingdom. When you understand kingdom, you understand that every king has a territory. Every territory is governed by a constitution. Every constitution are built up by laws. All the laws are activated and live within that constitution, that government. So therefore, we live according to the principles. We always get to participate with God's blessing. So the Lord wants you to learn how to be blessed, not cursed. Turn to someone and say, I'm blessed. Come on, tell somebody, I'm blessed and not cursed. That's right. You need to know that. But the only way to live that is to live kingdom principles. The number one principle is what we've done this year, kingdom seed. Even what many of you gave me gifts, what you don't realize, you gave seed to the man of God. When you do that, the Lord says that you'll have a harvest from that seed. And that is the powerful part of learning the principles of seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest is so powerful that God himself lives by this same principle. God created it. God lives by it. How many of you thank God for Jesus? Jesus Christ washed your sins away. Can I hear an amen? But watch, he was the seed of the Father. You see, this is the necessity of recognizing this principle of seed time and harvest saturates every portion of your life. It goes from all the way from your salvation, all the way to your family, all the way to your words, all the way to your thoughts. Every portion of our life is wrapped up in seed time and harvest, not just in the natural world, but in the spiritual world. And the quicker we grab a hold of the principles of kingdom seed, we will start planting harvests that we are expecting to receive rather than just getting the leftovers or the foolish stuff that we planted our own. Can I hear an amen on that? So many of us have planted bad harvests. We get our bad seed. Then we get mad at God. God, where are you? God, I expect you to do something in my life. And he said, no, you don't understand. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also. I can't hear you this morning. I said, whatsoever he sows, that shall he also. Whatever man sows, that shall he also. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. Don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. We've got to come to a realization quickly that we are the ones that are propelling forward our destiny or halting the will of God. A lot of people have a hard time realizing that we are the ones that stop God's movement in our life. That we are the ones that can stop God's revival. We are the ones that can stop salvations. We are the ones that stop and start. And all of it is implemented by the seed. The verse for the year is found in Psalms 1:3, and it says this. You shall be like a tree planted by, planted means what? What are you planting? Seed. You shall be like a tree. What does a tree come from? I said, what does a tree come from? A seed. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit. What's in the fruit? I said, what's in the fruit? So where does a tree come from? What do you do with the seed? You plant it. What do you get when you get a tree? You get fruit. What's in the fruit? Seed. What's the purpose of the seed? To plant it so you can get what? More fruit. The principle of seed time and harvest is so powerful. It shall bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall fail. Whatever he does shall just barely make it. Whatever he does is just the luck of the draw. God said, whatever you do shall prosper. When you understand it takes a seed to plant the tree, when you understand you got to plant it, that means it takes action on your behalf. You've got to go and dig a hole, and you've got to plant that seed. You've got to water that seed. You've got to make sure that that seed is not going to be overcome and overrun or plucked out by some bird. You protect that seed, and all of a sudden, you start getting a little limb. All of a sudden, it starts taking root. All of a sudden, in years, it starts to grow and brings forth fruit. That fruit has what's within that, the very seeds of the same DNA. You see, today we sit here as sons and daughters of God, not with our DNA of our past from our parents, but we have the DNA of heaven. Why? Because we are the first fruits. Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection, and we are the sons and daughters of God. So we have the DNA. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm a new creature in Christ. I've got the DNA of God himself. Can I hear an amen? This whole year we've been talking about the seed. And we started 2 weeks ago on the seed of your thoughts. How you and I are the culmination of the seeds of our thoughts. How you think is determining where you are. Now some people say, well, I don't believe that our thoughts have that capability. Well, number one, it just shows you're a little ignorant. But number two, what it shows is that you don't read the word. The word is clear. For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Who you are today, who I am today, is a culmination of those seeds of thoughts that we have allowed to penetrate our physical brain. Now, I want to remind you that we are trichotomous beings, that we are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. Say that with me. I am a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. Say it one more time. I am a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. The Bible says that you and I have been created in the likeness of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Glory to God. My problem is I got a lot of preaching in a very short period. So I might go Bostonian on you. So hang on for the ride. Fact is that we've been made in the creation of God, which means God said in John chapter 4, verse 24, I am a spirit. You and I have a spirit. We're unlike any other creature. You are not an animal. Animals are dichotomous beings. They have a soul and a body, but they do not have a spirit. You and I, if you are and I are born again, the Bible says we've gone from death to life. We are now born again, sons and daughters of God. We are now the new creations in Christ. If you are not born again, your father is the son of disobedience. That means that you are lost, that your spirit man is dead, and you will end up at the white throne judgment, be cast into the lake of fire, because your name will not be written in the Lamb's book of life. You see, your physical body, though, is a servant or a slave. A servant or slave either to the spirit that is alive or dead, or to the soul. What's the soul? The soul is your intellect, how your mind works, your intellect, your emotions, how you feel, and your will, the decisions you're going to make. We've mainly been run by our soulish man before we're born again. But the Bible declares that when you're saved, if we walk in the spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You hear people say all the time, don't judge me. You don't have to judge somebody. Why? Because the fruit on their tree determines who they're following. You see, who you are truly following, the seeds that you're truly planting, the harvest that you truly have, will always be manifest through the physical body. Well, why? Because your physical man is either a slave to your spiritual man, led by God or not led by God, and is also controlled by the soul, your intellect, emotions, and will. And God wants you and I to have our life in order. Our spirit man, the Holy Ghost, dwells inside, for it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God, that we are to allow the Holy Spirit to govern our lives, which means our soul, our intellect, how we think, our emotions, how we feel, and our will is supposed to be subjected to the Holy Ghost. When we do that, we'll live a life of success. Well, why is that? Because then we'll be led by the Spirit and will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So each one of us, we have a mind. Turn to someone and say, you have a beautiful mind. Turn to the other side and say, you are brilliant. It's true. Psalms chapter 23, verse 7 says, for as a man thinks, so he is. How many of you recognize when you got saved, you now have the mind of Christ? Now, I don't know about you. That's pretty powerful. When you realize that your mind is different from your brain, turn to someone and say, my mind, which is your soul, is different from my brain. Your brain is the physical. Your soul is the soulish man. So as a man thinks, as a man allows his soul to think, so his brain will be. You see, it's so powerful. We went through this 2 weeks ago, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I've got to go quickly. I went through a little brain science, and it said this. Our brain has 300 million plus years worth of storage. So somebody who says, well, you know, the first thing that goes is your brain. You know, the first thing you go is your memory. You look at them and say, who taught you that lie? It's really fun to say that too. Who lied to you? You have 300 million plus years of memory storage in your brain. We went through the study of neuroplasticity, which means your brain changes form. Literally, your brain changes form by the thoughts that you think. Our brain changes by the seeds of thoughts that are planted within our brain. Our non-conscious mind activity is 400 billion actions per second, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Our conscious mind thinks with activity at 2,000 actions per second. Our conscious and our subconscious minds meet 40 times per second for every decision that we're making and every time we start logging memory. Our non-conscious mind thinks at quantum speeds, which is faster than the speed of light, at 186,000 miles per second. Our brains have over 100 billion neurons. They're like trees. I showed pictures of it 2 weeks ago. And every neuron, there is attached a microtubule. Oh, I always say that wrong. Microtubule. And on there, they're like branches on a tree. What's amazing is when you're hearing me right now, your brain is literally creating and making. That's the most powerful reality. There's a fluffy pink substance called protein that while you're listening to me, your physical brain is thinking and is now creating right now what we call thought trees in your brain. Off the thought tree is that great word called what? Microtubule, which is like a branch. And as your mind is thinking, what happens is when that thought is there after 24 hours, there is another protein that is released called the ChemK2 that then takes that thought and burns it on your microtubule, as well as burns it on your physical heart, as well as stores it in your DNA. So every thought that we have, every thought that we retain, every thought we place in memory does not just stay with you, but goes to the essence of actually generation to generation. What's amazing also, and we heard about it 2 weeks ago, was they did heart transplants, and what they find is literally that the person who received the new heart was many times has dreams. And the dreams were not their dreams or memories, but the dreams or memories from the person whose heart they received. See, we're not talking about religion here. We're talking about science. We're talking about God. We're talking about His Word. We're talking about how fearfully and wonderfully made you are. We're talking that you are not a dumb individual, but that you are a miracle of God, that you have been so fearfully and wonderfully made, that you are literally brilliant, that you have the mind of Christ. And I don't know about you. If my mind is the same as Christ, that means there's nothing impossible. That means I cannot be held back by anybody. That means there's no circumstance, no situation. For if God is with me, who can be against me? My God is able to do abundantly above all I can even ask or imagine. I just got to start thinking like Christ. Just as when you think the positive and you think the godly principles and the Word of God, as you're praying and as you're speaking in other tongues, what's powerful is you're creating, those proteins are creating those thought trees. Your brain is healthy. But the truth is also with the opposite. When you think negative, when you think doubting, which is the opposite of faith, when you speak death and not life, for life and death are in the power of the tongue, just as they could measure scientifically those proteins building those thought trees with the microtubules, with the ChemK2s, they also have studied and can see what happens when a person thinks negatively. And it creates a tree, all right, but it's not a tree of health. It's a tree that's all cratchety and raunchy, and it is a tree of death. Science declares that 75 to 99% of all sicknesses of the brain and of the body first start with the thought. When we look at Job, it's amazing to recognize the power of our thoughts. Everyone looks at Job and says, well, you know, the devil just beat the snot out of him. I want you to know that Job caused his own problems. Job sat back and he said the thing that he feared the most has come upon him. He gave the devil, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For as a man thinks, so he. So as Job was in fear, which is the opposite of faith and trust in his God, the thing that he feared the most, he had to have spoken, because Lucifer cannot read your mind. Lucifer then took that to the eternal, and God said, don't kill him. But it was amazing to recognize when Job was restored. Job chapter 42, Job put his hand over his mouth, and he said, I have spoken things I know not of. And when he repented, God restored to him double everything that he had before. It's time to stop allowing your mind to damn your life. It's time to start collecting your thoughts and not allowing them to control you, but to build a healthy mind. Turn to somebody and say, you deserve a healthy mind. The challenge with us is learning how to arrest our thoughts. See, this is a teaching that's not taught a lot. Most of the time, you know, you go to church and they sing a kumbaya song or they give a nice little sermonette and everybody goes home. But here, my passion at this house is to raise up sons and daughters of God who know how to live. And not know how to live on accident, but know how to live with the success of the gospel of Christ. The word is life. Can I hear an amen? The word is power. Can I hear an amen? Jesus said, I sent my word, Psalms 107, to heal you. God can heal you, Jehovah Rapha, in your body, just as you're sitting where you are right now. The word of God can physically heal your physical body. You see, our thoughts are so dangerous. Dangerous minds. When you were not saved, your thoughts were driven by selfishness and fleshly desires. You thought about what made you happy. You've heard people say this, ready? As long as it doesn't hurt anybody else and you're happy, it's all good. That is a lie from hell. You see, every one of us right now, 2,000 times per second, are actively thinking. You're taking the words that are being spoken from this word, from the word of God, and literally it is entering your physical brain. It is literally by the proteins, those nice little fluffy things, creating those thought trees that are healthy. How do I know it's healthy? For Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. The word life there is Zoe kind of life, the God kind of life. So even as you hear the word of God, you're declaring your brilliance, because the more words you get in your spirit, the more healthy your brain is. And God is transforming our minds by renewing them with his word. So we sit here, and so many of us allow our thoughts to control who we are. But I'm here to tell you, when you got saved, something changed. Turn to somebody and say, I was changed. Come on, tell somebody, I was changed. You see, you participated, according to Ephesians chapter 5, with the nature of your father before you were born again. Who's the nature of your father? The Bible says it was the devil. The devil was your father before you were born again. And therefore you thought even as he did. He was the father of lies. He was the great deceiver. He was the selfish. He was the prideful. But when you got born again, something happened. A supernatural act. You see, salvation has nothing to do with joining a church or joining a religion. Salvation is when you ask Jesus Christ supernaturally to come and dwell inside of you. You are not the same person any longer. You are a new man and a new woman. Old things are passed away. What happens is this. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that you now have been given a new nature. What is this new nature? It is the mind of Christ. Can you imagine being Jesus and walking around and saying, well, you know, my father was only a carpenter. I don't know what's going to happen to my life. And you know, if God can just use me, maybe things will work out. Can you imagine when they came against him and they were trying to throw him and kill him and throw him over cliffs and kill him? And he said, well, you know, I'm, you know, just a sinner saved by grace. I'm hoping to make it by. This is where so many believers are. They're not believers. Now, I'm not saying they don't love Jesus, but they've not stepped into believing. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who believe must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There comes a place in your walk with the Lord that you have to make a decision of what you're going to allow to get into your mind. What your mind is allowed to think will sear on your brain. Therefore, you will become exactly how you think. When they took me and the pastors of the area said to me, you know, this church, your vision is too big. What you see will never occur. It will never happen. And you know what? I was kind to them. But inside, I wanted to rage. Why? Because I want you to know, I don't care what you say. I don't care how you think. I know a God who's greater than any other man or woman on this planet. I know a God who has vision for saving the lost. I know a God that is able to build a massive kingdom touch place right in the middle of a stinking cornfield. My God is able to do abundantly above all I could ask or think. That doesn't matter to me what anybody else thinks because I know God. When you think the way God thinks, you cannot be defeated no matter what the trial or tribulation. So the issue is not that God isn't for you. The issue is the thoughts that you have allowed in your mind that have disembarked you and discredited God's word. How many of you believe that God says there's nothing impossible if you only believe? That's not everybody. I said, how many of you believe that God said there's nothing impossible if you only believe? If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you might ask, or you might not get it, or it might work for some but not for others, unless you're the special person. No. The Bible says, whatever you ask in my name, I will give it to you. I want you to know today that if you truly believe the word of God, those thoughts that try to come into your head. See, this is the issue. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. What happens in many of our lives is we get a vision or we get excited and God starts moving in our life. And all of a sudden, excuses start coming to our thoughts. I want you to know, I said it a few weeks ago, there's nothing wrong with a bird flying around your head, but you don't have to let them nest in your hair. The book of James chapter 1 says that temptation is not the sin. The thought is not the sin. It's what you do with the thought when it comes into your mind. You see, the Bible declares the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, taking into captivity every thought and imagination that raises itself up above the word of God. And today I want to remind you who raised himself up or tried to above the word of God. His name was Lucifer. But what did God say? God cast him down. I want you to know that you and I have the responsibility of casting down, taking authority over, arresting every thought and imagination that would raise itself up above the word of God. And listen now, every excuse needs to be expelled. See, we all have excuses. It validates us. It makes us feel good. We have reasons. Preachers are funny. You know, I went to this one dude and I said, you know, dude, I don't want to be a jerk or anything, but, you know, you've had the same 25 people for 25 years, and they're starting to die. And he said to me, well, brother, I just want you to know, I'm not in it for numbers. I believe that quality is better than quantity. And I said, that was stupid. Because if you have quality, you'll have quantity. I said, that's nothing more than an excuse to validate the lack of growth within the ministry and souls not being saved. He was really upset at me. But that's the truth. Some of you have had dreams that you've allowed to die in your life. Some of you had dreams when you were children of businesses. Listen, you are literally one thought away of becoming a millionaire. One. You are one thought away of becoming successful in the vision that God has planted in your heart. You are one thought. So what happens when those thoughts come in our mind that are the God kind of thoughts that are giving us the direction for success, for the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord? And if God has given you a destiny, he's not giving it to you to tease you. He's giving it to you to acquire it. But God cannot give it to you. You've got to acquire. You've got to go after. You've got to walk the trail. You've got to arrest your mind. You've got to say, I'm just not going to be disembarked by allowing my mind to think any way I want it to. If God says I can, it don't matter what anybody else says. I'm going to lay hold of the promises of the Lord. You see, some of us live in this factor where we believe and we allow our mind to teach us that we are worthless. Some of us allow our mind to tell us that nobody cares. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this. I'm just too busy. How many people will never fulfill the destiny that God has for them because they've allowed their mind to convince them that they're too busy? Yet they watch television. Well, you know, Pastor, the fact is I can't do it. I really want to, but I can't. I never allowed my children to say these words. Never allowed them. In fact, I spanked them. If they said to me, I can't, I spanked them. No lie, man. I believe in corporal punishment. I didn't say beating your children, but I didn't mind spanking them. Why is that? Because I refuse to allow that word ever to become part of their vocabulary. You see, the moment you allow your mind to start saying, I can't, or I'm worthless, or nobody cares, or excuses, you start building trees. They're not those nice little fluffy pink trees. You're not building positive thought trees. You're building trees, but they're the crotchety old killing trees that are in your life. Some of your stinking thinking has so overpowered you that every time that faith tries to arise, you stomp it under your feet and you declare, there's no way I can do it. I can't do it. I'm telling you today, those are words right from the devil himself. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't care what comes down my path. My God is able. There's nothing I can't do. God is on my side. The creator of the universe is living inside of me. There's nothing I can't do. See, until you take this authority, you say to yourself, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that thought. I cast that thought off. I refuse to allow that thought to sit in my mind. Until you take authority over caring what other people think about you, you're always going to be controlled by thoughts of others. Until you take control of it, baby, you're just going to remain there. Aren't you sick of being there? Well, you know, it's this, it's that, it's the economy, it's the presidency, it's the United States of America. It was my mother, it was my father. Aren't you done blaming people? Is God not living inside of you? If not, we'll give a salvation message right after this sermon, and you can get saved. But isn't it time to be a person that is not going to be governed by allowing your mind to speak death to you? Until you make that decision, you are governed by your excuses. You are governed by the life that others will live for you and through you. It is not until you make these declarations. God is on my side. I can. I can do anything through Jesus. I have complete ultimate victory, not because of who I am, but because of the one who dwells inside of me. Until you arrest your thoughts, you'll be controlled by your thoughts. For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. You know, this is so important to God that he gave us a whole portion teaching us how to think. I just got to say this. The environment a tree is in determines the life and the death of the tree and its fruit. Some of you need to turn the news off. Some of you need to turn MSNBC off. Some of you need to turn Fox News off. Well, I don't want to be ignorant. Well, you're already ignorant. Because if you think honestly that you are going to transition this world by thinking stinking, There's only one. God puts men in and God takes them out. And I'm not saying don't vote. I believe in voting. Y'all better vote. But the fact is this, is that Jesus is coming. And if we put half as much energy in seeing souls saved as we do complaining, can I hear an amen? What could actually happen? Well, I almost got in trouble. I almost said what you said the other day. She said if we saw half as much salvation message as we saw on this one product being sold on Facebook, how many souls could actually be born again? I'm sorry I told on you. Ever read Philippians chapter 4, verse 8? I'm almost done. Literally about less than 5 minutes. I wasn't able to finish it for a service either, so you're blessed. For Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, God actually teaches you how to think. You see, God knew the power of the mind and the power of the brain. With the power of the mind thinking the God thoughts, we can create our brain, because that's what neuro, oh, I got to go look at the word again. Plasticity, thank you. That's what neuroplasticity actually means. It means your thoughts can change the mapping and your brain. Literally. God knew that, and he knew that this world is filled with doubt and unbelief. He knew that this world was filled with people that were angry, and because when they don't know Christ, they've got a reason to be angry. They've got a reason to be bitter. But when you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I've got a reason to shout, because I was in darkness, but God brought me out. I'm here to testify and tell you about my wonderful reason to shout. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm possessed by God himself. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and speak a heavenly language. I know that if I die today, I'm going to be with him for all of eternity. I've got this confidence in him that he who has begun a good work in me shall complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's nothing I can't do. When you know that, when you transfer that, when you think these thoughts, your brain starts to work. And God says, listen, I know how easy it is to slide back into the flesh. So this is what I want you to do. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, what does that mean? What does finally mean? What does finally mean? You can talk. I'm here. What does finally mean? The end. Finally. Believers. How many here are believers? Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is any worth of praise, think continually on these things. I love this. Center your mind on them and implant them on your heart. You see, there must come a place where we choose to think God's thoughts. We must allow God's direction to be part of our lifestyle. It is not just getting saved and going to heaven, but God has created you to live successful. And he's saying, this is how you think. You see, we've been called the brainwashing church. And it's absolutely true. My goal is to brainwash you. My goal is to get the word of God into you so you wash the flesh out and get the spirit in so that you allow yourself to be thinking the way God has called you to think. You see, the reality is that God wants to change your brain physically by changing your thoughts fleshly. We've got to get renewed. We've got to get cleaned up. How does this respond to real world? Well, you get up Monday morning, you didn't sleep well. You get up Monday morning and kids are blatting already. You
go to the refrigerator, there's no milk. You go to the bathroom, there's no toilet paper. You got to run out and grab some tissue, napkins, until I've happened in my house before. You go to Facebook and you post, Monday morning. Get in your car, you drive to work, you're already grumpy. Somebody comes up to you, they're mad at your friend that you're working with, and they say, well, you know what she did. You know what he did, don't you? Huh? And you start agreeing with them. You sit back and you allow that life to own you. Can I share something with you? There's no bad days in the kingdom, for this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. There's no such place as the wrong side of the bed. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. There's no such thing as being grumpy. For the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There is no thing as gossip, because there's no gossip allowed, for gossip is as the sin of murder. And those who gossip will not enter the kingdom of God. You see, when we make a decision not to be governed by the outside world, it means that we have decided to allow God's word to penetrate, to motivate, and to work our entire lifestyle. The days that we get out of kilter are the days that we have allowed our mind to go unarrested. We've allowed our minds to control us. And God is saying to arrest your mind, bring into captivity every thought and imagination, every thought that raises a up against the word of God. It's time to live successful. And that means this: when you start living with the joy of the Lord, that is your strength. When you start living that there is nobody that can get you in a bad mood. Now that's sometimes tough at home. Can I hear an amen or oh my? But when you realize that you have the authority in the name of Jesus to live victoriously, and that there's nothing you can't do, let me tell you something. The world's going to take notice of you, and they're going to want to know the Jesus you got. What's happened is the church has lived so much in the soul, why would anybody want the God you serve? Why? I mean, they live the same way, if not better than you. This is a time to bring change. And change is directed by the word. How you live is because of how you think. How you think is why you speak. How you speak are the seeds of life and death. And don't be deceived. You'll eat of the tree. Bow your heads with me. I just got to believe who God says you are. You see, I believe that God today can resurrect some of your visions that you've had that you've thrown away. I believe that today some of you have been taught that you're worthless, that you have no great worth. And today the Holy Spirit can implant within you that you are a son and daughter of the King. I believe there are some of you that are discouraged because situations in your life. And the Lord is saying, don't walk by sight, walk by faith. I believe God can heal a body. God can heal a mind. God can heal your soul. Receive the engrafted word of God that saves, sozos, reupholsters your soulish man so that you and I can be victors in this world and be examples in this world. Skip religion. Religion stinks, but Jesus is amazing. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to make the first decision, and you need to accept Christ and live for Him. This morning, I believe five people raised their hand in early service to give their hearts to Christ. Today, I want to give you the opportunity to change the entire direction of you, your life. Today, if you don't know Christ, you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone in the room that wants Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? You want to have a mind change? I see your hand, young lady. And young man over on that side. I don't mind letting the little children raise their hand. There you go. Come on. Come on. Is there anybody else?
You want Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of life. Thank you, honey. I see your hand right there. Yes, I see yours too. Is there anyone else? Where? Oh, very good. Thank you. I see your hand. Can put it right back down. Anyone else? Way in the back. Thank you. I'm not going to wait long. Five. Come on, get your hand up. Four. Three. Oh, your mind is working, isn't it? 2,000 times a second. You've just collided in the last second 40 different times. Two. Come on, get your hand up. Last call. One. Let's all stand to our feet. How will you choose to think this week? How will you choose to think this week? I'd like you to memorize Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. If you don't want to memorize it, I'd like you to write it out on a card. And I want you to put it in your bathroom. I want you to put it on the dashboard of your car. If you can put it at your workspace at work, I want it there too. And every single time a thought or somebody tries to think and say it to you that's opposite of that verse, I want you to take control. I don't have any problem telling somebody to be quiet. Listen, man, I don't listen to that trash. I need you quiet. Well, I don't want to offend them. Isn't it time to offend them? Isn't it time to tell them, I choose to believe like God believes? Well, I don't want to look like a religious zealot. Well, why? Are you not truly a son of God, a daughter of God? What are you ashamed of? The Bible says, if you're ashamed of me on earth, I'll be ashamed of you in heaven. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. And listen now. Well, you know, you don't let work where I work. I work in the trades. I worked in the trades. That's how I grew up. My father owned a construction business. Don't tell me I don't know all that stuff. I met a man the other day in Lowe's. Where was it? Was it Lowe's? Wherever it was. Now, where was that? Staples. There you go. Yeah, but I couldn't go with the story until I got this because it bothered me. I walked into Staples. There's a man that used to be my manager. In my last church, they paid me very, 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 very small wages. Very, very. And one of the board members didn't want to give us a raise at all. I think we were making, at start, $10 a week full time. Then we got up to, I think, $100 a week full time. But I still had to work, so I worked driving school bus for 4 years. But during the summer, there's no school bus, so I had to go work somewhere else. And I found a job at Cornell University. And my job at Cornell University was going into the homes, you know, the houses that the students used to live in, and cleaning them out. Oh, my goodness. That's all I got to say. And this guy was the manager. And you know, they're GD in this and Jesus Christ in this and they're F in this and they're dropping all this stuff all over the place. And they finally said to me, Spencer, because I never told him I was a preacher, Spencer, why don't you cuss? I says, well, why do I need to cuss? I want to be intelligent. And then they said to me, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with swearing. I says, well, why don't you, instead of saying God damn, why don't you say Jesus damn? Well, I'm sorry. Instead of saying God damn, why don't you say Satan damn? And so they made it a joke. All over this area of Cornell University, Satan damn, Satan damn. Instead of God damn, Satan damn. Well, by the end of that summer, he was saved, his wife was saved, and children were saved. Because I refuse to allow words, thoughts, circumstances to control my life. You have this ability, and I know you can do it because the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. Amen? Today, if you raise your hand for salvation, and I know many children did, and I'm excited about that because why wait till they get to be teenagers and mess up? If any of the children raise their hand, grab your mom or dad and just come on up, meet me right up here. If you want to be saved and you didn't raise your hand, I want you to meet me up here as well. Come on, just come right out of your chair. Meet me out here. You got this. Go ahead, baby. Come on, you got it. You got it. Grab her. There you go. Come on. Take her up with you. There you go. I'm so proud of you. Bring that little boy up. Come on, there's more than that. Raise their hand for Jesus. There you go. You know, I believe you shouldn't have to wait and let the children start tasting hell before they get saved. Can I hear an amen? Today, I just want to release a blessing on you. We have cake out in the foyer. Make sure you eat that. I'm going to pray all the calories out of the cake. Glory to God. There's also, if you are a first-time guest, our guest reception. Make sure you come and meet the pastors. Father, release a blessing upon the body of Christ right here in Jesus' name. I declare, God, we're going to think like you. I declare resurrection to dreams. I declare resurrection to families. I declare resurrection, oh God, finances. I declare resurrection in their walk with you. Lord, by the way they think in Jesus' name. Lord, put a hunger in our heart for your word that will overcome all situations, that our faith may be built, that we may hear and learn how to listen and literally think like God thinks. God, we give you honor and blessing for not allowing us just to make it by, but giving us the tools to accomplish total victory on this planet. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I love you. Serve Jesus with all of your heart. Make sure you bring at least one soul next week.